This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Chris and Amy on KMOX, and we are halfway through today. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll talk sports then. Bernie Miklas and me on the show today. Right now, we are joined by Joe Roderick, who's a friend of KMOX, and handles, he's a content and operations guy over at STL Sports Central, and Joe is with us now on KMOX. How's it going, Joe?
It's going good, man. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. Are you bored with this Cardinals offseason or what? We've had a couple of moves. But are you sitting here waiting? All right, something else has to happen.
Yes. Actually, Brendan Schaefer and I, before our show yesterday, were texting about that because I'm sure Chris, you do the same thing before Gas House Gang. It's kind of like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? And for a while, man, we had all kinds of stuff. Like, okay, hey, who's going to catch? Like, well, how much is Yvonne Herrera going to play? What are they going to do with Lars Nootbaar? And you had all these hypotheticals. And okay, we've kind of ran through them. Like, okay, let's move on. Like, they got the Sonny Gray thing done real quick, and we were real happy about that. And the Wilson Contreras thing kind of popped up out of nowhere. But we're sitting here, and I'm starting to wonder. Like, the Brendan Donovan situation, I'm not as concerned about that. Every team wants him. 29 teams in Major League Baseball should also want Brendan Donovan on their team. We know that. I think it's going to come down to make Heim Bloom an offer he just can't refuse. The one that's worrying me more and more every day, every week, is Nolan Arenado, because does anybody want him? I don't think anybody does, because it would be real simple for a team to look there and say, listen, we can't afford Alex Bregman. We're not going to go that route. We're not going to go out and sign Suarez. He's too much for us. Hey, I bet the Cardinals would pay us a whole lot of money to take Nolan Arenado off their hands. And here we sit, I mean, a day before 2026, and we haven't even heard whispers of a rumor of a team that is interested in Nolan Arenado. And there is a 0% chance that he will be at spring training for the Cardinals in Jupiter. I don't know where he's going to be right now or what they're going to do with him.
So let's say he is here. Let's say we get to spring training and he's on the damn team, right? I mean, he's got to start, right? Or do they play him differently and say, look, we've got younger guys we want to play. But I don't know how you could do that. It's almost like you have to play him.
Well, if he's here, you play him. But do you see a scenario where I cannot, I think what, like, are we February 10th, 11th? Like, are we looking at that week as far as when the team should be there, when pitchers and catchers report? I don't think it's been announced yet. I haven't seen it announced yet, but like, that's kind of the ideal time when that will be. I think right now you just say, okay, Nolan, hey, you don't have to come to Jupiter. Like, go do what you need to do right now to work out for Team Puerto Rico for the World Baseball Classic. Like, go do that. We'll figure it out here. Like, we will have this done by March 28th. Like, we'll figure this out. You go do your thing. Like, he wouldn't be a distraction. Like, this isn't a disgruntled employee that's demanding a trade or anything like that. I just think you have to move forward without him. And if Heim Bloom has a whiteboard in his office with the team on it for 26, like, I don't even think Nolan Arenado's name is on that whiteboard.
Joe, with the analogy would be like the St. Louis Blues, general manager Doug Armstrong, you know, people are upset with how the season is going, and he said, yes, we could make some trades, but I'm not taking pennies on the dollar. You know, that's not what he wants to do. With the Cardinals, how much willingness is there to take pennies on the dollar? Where are they as far as that goes? If you know that you can't build around Arenado, does that mean by default you might make a trade that maybe puts you at a disadvantage?
The only one I could see where that, like, a scenario where that would play in would be trading somebody like Nolan Gorman. I think that's the only one I would look at where, okay, we can't get rid of Arenado. I guess we have to move on from Gorman. And I don't know what the if there's a market out there for him at this moment either. I think 2 years ago, yeah, but 2 years ago, I think the Cardinals looked at Nolan Gorman and were like, wow, we have a 40 home run hitter on our hands. And now I think everybody looks at it and is like, okay, maybe we were wrong on him. Maybe the book's out on him. I think that would be the only like, if you can't move on from Arenado, and again, I don't see that being the case, but I think Gorman would be the guy you would then have to move because nobody else, like, that's right now, like, he's kind of the stopgap there, I think. Maybe because Weatherholt, you put him anywhere. Like, you're going to find a place to play him. You're going to put him at second, and if Donovan's still here, you put him in left. Like, there's a lot of different moving pieces for that, but I think Gorman's either your starting third baseman or DH next year or just your DH.
Talking with Joe Roderick from STL Sports Central on KMOX, and we've got we're very close to having the NFL playoff picture set. It is becoming more clear. The Rams lost inexplicably to the Falcons last night. And this is one of those seasons with the Chiefs out of the playoffs, with the Lions missing the playoffs. I'm not really even sure who the if there is a strong favorite. I know there are betting favorites, but I'm not sure there's a team that I would look to and say, absolutely, that's the team right there. That's the one that's going to win the Super Bowl.
I put a future on the Bills about a week and a half ago. I think after they beat the Patriots, I put a future on the Bills. And I regret it now only because they lost to the Eagles, and I think the odds got better. Like, I could have won more money for it now, so I do regret putting that bet in as early as I did. But right now, the Bills are still my favorite. I think Bills, Eagles, what we just saw this Sunday, I still look at that as the favorite. And I think out of the AFC for sure, it's the quarterback. I mean, the reason the Chiefs went year after year after year is because they had the best quarterback there in Patrick Mahomes. And I think right now you look at the AFC and Josh Allen's the best quarterback. He's far and away the best quarterback, the most experienced quarterback in the playoffs in the AFC. So as good as Bo Nix has been, as good as Drake May has been, who probably is going to win the MVP, I still think that the Bills are the front runners no matter what seed they get in the AFC playoffs. The NFC, I have no clue. I really have no clue. I guess if the 49ers get the one seed, which I think they're still, I think it comes down to this weekend, they have to beat the Seahawks to get the one seed, and then everything goes through their home field. Everything goes through Santa Clara, including the Super Bowl, goes through that. And watching them in that game, that Bears-49ers game was one of the most fun games I've watched this whole season. With that, if that offense is going to be that good, then maybe they're the favorite, but I feel like the favorite in the NFC changes each and every week right now.
Yeah, it really does. I don't recall the last time it was like this. Pretty much across the NFL and especially in the NFC. So it'll be a pretty exciting playoff coming up here. And we spent some time yesterday. I mean, I'm a Bears fan, and so I've paid pretty close attention to what Luther Burden has been doing. And he had the quad injury from yesterday. It appears to not be, or from 2 days ago, appears to not be serious. But that guy had one of the best rookie performances from a Bears receiver ever. And that was on Sunday. He's really turning into something and might end up being a star, Joe.
Right, and Chris, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of your old coworkers in Chicago. Like, are they believers in the Bears, or are they expecting?
I think they are now
back into a pumpkin at some point. Like, what is the vibe up there? Is it just enjoying the ride?
I think the last 3 weeks, they feel like, oh, and even with the loss on Sunday, I feel like it's okay. They lost that game, but they're in it. They're in every game, and you don't really, it doesn't feel flukish anymore. There was a time, even over about a 5 week period, where they kept winning, and you thought, all right, sure, they're winning, but are they actually good? I don't think you can, I don't think that's a question anymore. I think they are legitimately a good team.
It's almost like them losing that game. It was like, okay, they can lose these games. Okay, everything been like, if that hook and ladder play would have worked at the end of the game to to win it for them, Ben Johnson would have had a statue built up there already for what he's done. But I agree with that. Yeah, I think you see, okay, like they're actually playing with contenders. They're not just beating, you know, some of the worst teams in the league. Like this is maybe as the season's grown, they've kind of evolved into a better team week after week.
Yeah, you beat Philly, you beat the Packers, you almost beat the 49ers in their stadium. Like that's not a fluke anymore.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, and still, and all of them were close games, and you were able to hold off on those first two, and you know they. Again, I mean, they were 5 yards away from winning that final one, too. Like, it was there. That loss wasn't a blowout, and everything just seems, yeah, everything seems to be clicking right now for them, too. But I still, again, they're not a team I would put as a top three right now in the NFC.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. We have just a couple more minutes here. So we can either talk about the Billikens or the Blues. You want to pick one?
The Blues are just frustrating. It's such a frustrating watch night after night because you look at the standings with them and going into last night, they were 1 point out of a playoff spot. They've been bad all year. Like, how is this the case? And then you go and look at their overtime record and you can just pinpoint things here and there that, you know, that they could do just slightly differently, and I don't know if we'd have a better view of them. Like, Amy, would you feel a lot better if they split those overtime losses that they had on the year, or do you think that this is still like a disappointing season for them?
Yeah, no, it feels like a disappointing season because the run last year into the playoffs and the way they played against Winnipeg, taking them to 7 games, so close to beating the best team in the NHL, I think perhaps gave us a false sense of where the team was in its readiness to compete, specifically in the Central Division, which is just absolutely stacked. To me, the points would be nice because you'd say, oh yeah, wow, we're in a wild card spot despite being bad. Because it doesn't change the team at all. And I think this is very telling from last night. So Coach Jim Montgomery said, after the game last night, about the team, that they had poor puck play, really contributed to the first two goals against. We're running a face-off play. We're putting it in the skates. Sorry, and then he talked about how the effort's not there. What it really comes down to is we've got to have a better effort than that. We have to play with more purpose and pride, and the physicality just isn't good enough right now. He went on to talk about Kyrou and said, he needs to move his feet. He's a weapon when he moves his feet and he's skating. He's creating turnovers. He's skating pucks wide. I just didn't see him doing those things tonight. So I say those quotes because Lou Korak of the Hockey News obviously has, at the postgame conference as well, had a really good anecdote from someone on Twitter who said, my girlfriend was at the game with me who doesn't know anything about hockey, and she asked, why is Buffalo so much faster than the Blues? And they're like, that pretty much sums it up. Like, it was her first hockey game. She doesn't know anything about hockey. And she was asking, why is Buffalo so much faster than the Blues? I say all of that because that indicates who they are more than the points.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And as far as the Billikens go, I don't think they're going to win by 80 on Wednesday. I don't think that's going to
so
happen.
Bad.
And my other prediction is that Rammer and Earl are going to have such a better time calling that game on Wednesday than they probably did this weekend in an 81-point victory.
Well, I mean, you're playing a high school team. There's not much you can not much excitement you can get out of that.
I know. How is that legal? It shouldn't be legal.
I don't know. I mean, it's
bring
not like
on conference play.
It's not dangerous.
Yeah, but right. I guess that's why it's not dangerous. Otherwise, it feels like it's like if you were like, oh, I'm going to practice fighting. I'm going to start with kindergartners. Like, you're like, well, you can't fight kids.
Like Kramer fighting the children.
Yes!
And when he was when he was learning karate.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Well, tomorrow they do open A10 play. We got the broadcast starting at 2:45. right here on KMOX. You can listen to Billiken's basketball. They've only lost one time this year, Joe. So, on a buzzer beater. Right.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Very well could be undefeated.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I ask Rammer this pretty much every week, and I know it's way down the line. We're talking several weeks from now, but you can't help, you know, when you're following along a college basketball season, every win, every loss is, okay, what does this do for us in terms of the tournament and an at-large bid if we get there? And if you're a college basketball fan, you think about that all the time because, that's the whole thing is getting to the tournament. Is there... As long as they do well in conference play, is the resume in the non-conference good enough?
I mean, I think they've played a tougher non-con than Mizzou did before conference play, and the wins I think speak for themselves. I haven't really gotten into the whole like the tier or quad one, quad two, all those victories and everything. I just know Mizzou. You didn't play anybody in their non-conference play, which made the outcome of that bragging rights game just so predictable last week. Yeah. Like I thought it was going to be at least a 20-point win, and I was way off. It was a 40-point win. So I think you can tell a lot by how these teams play the tougher competition going into the season or going into the conference season. But SLU doesn't have to challenge themselves as much as the Mizzou does. On top of that, too, I don't think the A-10 is nearly as strong as the SEC, so Mizzou needed a lot more battles, and I think SLU's going to take care of business, and they'll probably get in, yeah.
Joe Roderick, STL Sports Central, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Absolutely, guys, anytime.
That's right. Don't forget, tomorrow, 2:45, the broadcast, the St. Louis Sports Hall of Famer, Bob Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the call. Billiken's basketball against St. Joseph.
I like when the Billikens are good.
Yeah, 12-1 is a great start.
That's fun. Winning is fun. We've kind of forgotten recently how fun it is to win.
In St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're damn right. It's been a while.
I forgot. It's really fun.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.